Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
So welcome to Onceable, Hypeable's Once Upon a Time podcast, and tonight the season finale aired, and we were literally, like, watching and, like, messaging all together, and now we're going to talk about it, so I don't promise that this will be a coherent podcast in any way, shape, or form, because that finale was amazing. Tonight I'm joined by Karen, Kristen, Laura, and our special guest, Christina. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
All right, so I'm just going to ask, even though I already know, was this a thumbs up or a thumbs down for everybody?
Well,
It was definitely a thumbs up. Let's be real. It was pretty amazing.
I'm so happy.
I said it before we started recording, but I never cry at, like, TV shows. I rarely do. Oh my God. Three times, Anthony Horowitz, curse you. I was a blubbering puddle of mess by the end of this show. Like, horrible, ugly, ugly tears. Like, not good-looking cry. Ugly cry.
Yeah, I didn't have tears, but I made noises that no human should make. Like, I don't even know what they were, but I was just, oh, fangirl goodness. Gotta love it.
I got emotional.
It was so emotional. Like, it's hard not to get emotional, I think, at this point, because it was just, like, 2 hours straight of everything we've kind of always wanted, and then things that we knew were coming that we were like, no! Raise your hand if you've never wanted an innocent person to die so much in your life.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, everyone's God. Hands are yep. raised. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Like, yep. I think at one point on Twitter, I'm like, no, Emma, what are you doing? No! Yeah.
Like, listen to Hook.
But at the same time, it was epic wish fulfillment, which they promised.
Yeah, yes. It was pretty epic. There was, every level of that was, like, a swan, like, a Captain Swan-like homage for all of us. It's all of us. It was an hour and a half to 2 hours of Captain Swan. That was it. They ended
we will always
note.
Have these episodes, no matter what else happens. We will always have
we'll
these.
We'll always have this.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, it's just going to be giddy fangirling all night, I can tell already. All right, so let's get on. Now that we've all established that we absolutely love the episode, let's move on to some of our favorite quotes, because there was so much going on in this episode. There were so many good ones. I tried to catch a bunch as we were, like, writing, or as I was watching, rather. I'm trying to write and watch, and I'm not sure it went so well, but a couple of mine were when Emma was like, or when Hook was like, King Midas's daughter, the one who can turn anything into gold, why would you give that up? In reference to finding out that Charming had previously been engaged to Catherine, he was like, mate, you had a man who could turn anything into gold, and you gave that up. And Snow's kind of like, hey, right here.
I love how Emma, like, jabbed him in the side, too.
Yeah, they're like, dude, come on. So that one, and then one of my other favorite ones was Emma, when she's like, how do I know how to get back to the future? Who do I look like, Marty McFly? And Hook is like, who? I feel like they, now that we've established this Hook-Emma thing, that they need to have, like, you know how they have those weird things at Comic-Con that they always do, like the dating service and all those funky little clips they do? I feel like they need to have, like, a Hook and Emma pop culture reference one, because oh my there's gosh. So much that he misses. Like, or have him to sit down and watch the cartoon version of Peter Pan with her, because come on, superb.
Yes. And it wasn't, like, awkward. Like, I loved how they did it too, because, like, Sleepy Hollow is really good like that too. Like, they always have a thing of, like, Ichabod gets bamboozled by technology, like, once an episode or the modern world. And I felt like they did a really good job of Hook going, like, who, what, why. Like, it was so effortless and not forced. I thought they did a great job with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so good. All right, who else had some favorite quotes?
I had one or two. I'll try not to cry on the second one. The first one was when they meet Rumple back in the back in the Enchanted Forest, and he realizes what's been happening, and he says, "It's a miracle the timeline hasn't imploded already, amateurs." And I was like, oh my God, that's like, I think so totally what like everyone was feeling. Like, I think everybody in the fandom was just so tense at that point, wondering what else they were going to do to screw things up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one that basically got me to be a complete blubbering mess was Belle's marriage vows at the end, where she's going, "Sometimes the best book has the dustiest jacket. Sometimes the best teacup is chipped." And I was just like, oh, that's it. So I'm a wuss.
I was right there with you, actually. When she mentioned the teacup, yeah, it was pretty intense. My favorite quote was actually between Hook and Emma, and it was when Hook was trying to rescue her and she got herself out, and he was like, "What are you doing? You're depriving me of a daring rescue." And she just says, "The only one that saves me is me." And I loved it for two reasons. One, because it was just a hilarious line from Hook, and you could see how crushed he was. He just really wanted to save her. But two, because that is something that I've always loved about Emma. She has always saved herself. She's always relied on herself. She's never been a damsel in distress. And I'm really glad that they didn't go in that direction for this, that she actually escaped herself. I thought that was really great.
Yeah, I was going to say, I had two. The one I love the most was right at the beginning when Emma gets sucked into the time vortex thing, whatever. And Hook says, "One of these days, I'm going to stop chasing this woman," because he spends the rest of the episode chasing her. Like, I just thought it was hilarious. And my other one, I don't know the exact quote, but that whole thing between Rumpel and Emma when he's holding her hand and she's trying to go back. That mm-hmm. whole scene just got me. If I was going to cry, that was the only like point that I was really going to break down. And that part just got me.
Look, okay. You guys know how I feel about Neil and Emma. And that part, like, because her voice broke and it was like really high pitched. And you could tell like she was crying and she was trying to hold it back and she couldn't. And it was so hard.
Okay, my favorite part, and I know this quote word for word because I already liked it on Tumblr, is when Hook and Emma are dancing and Hook's like, "There's only one rule, pick the partner who knows what he's doing," and they start waltzing and it's so cute and I can't. And
that was the moment right there.
Yes, and then the second part is the entire scene where Emma has to distract past Hook. So she's like all flirting with him, and then Hook has to knock himself out, and future Hook is like all jealous, and it's adorable.
I love how she's adjusting the bodice of his dress, and he's like, whoa, what are you doing? And she's like, "I know how to distract you." I'm like, oh my gosh.
I have a feeling I'm your type. Like, I love it. It's so
cool. Oh my God. Yeah, that was amazing. Can I just say that I love that we finally got to see Hook in different clothes?
Yes.
Albeit somewhat temporarily, but can we please next season get this man some other clothes? He needs to have other clothes, please.
A pair of jeans and a short motorcycle jacket, something. Come on, help the guy out.
I swear, if I get a question at Comic-Con, that is going to be my question at the mic. Is it possible we can get Killian some other clothes?
That'll be like a Hook and Emma episode. They go shopping at a mall or something. Pretty Woman makeover.
Oh yes.
Yes.
Oh boy. I had one last one, and I picked up on it in the very beginning, and then it kind of repeated itself a couple times throughout the episode. And it's Emma saying, "Home is the place when you leave, you just miss it." And I think that was always going to be kind of Emma's theme for these two episodes. But then to find out where the quote actually came from was even more, like, I'm sure Karen was in a corner sobbing somewhere. But once we found out that the quote actually came from Neil, and it was Neil's, was even more, like, gut-wrenching. So, yeah, so much going on in this episode. So I guess we should probably, like, get into it, because we could be here a while. So the very first scene of the entire episode is the group home, and you see a little girl holding a Mickey Mouse. And yeah, very, considering that's what it starts on. And getting into a vehicle being adopted, And then you see the group of children standing there, and one of them is a very young, or a teenage version of Emma. And it turns out that, you know, Emma's kind of very upset that someone else is leaving and she's not getting a family. And so it kind of cuts from there. And we cut right to this Robin and Regina romantic dinner. And they're having kind of this very intimate talk about their past and how they lost people and how they let people down and how people were killed, their loves of the original loves of their life were killed because of them. And so therefore Marion comes up in conversation and Regina admits to him about being, you know, them being kind of fated and that Tinkerbell telling them that they were fated, which is beautiful at the time, but very, very painful later. So did you guys, with that initial scene, was there any inkling that something was going to go horribly, terribly wrong?
No, yes. But I'm so mad at myself that I didn't see it. I should have.
I started to wonder, like, literally the second Emma saved her, because I was just like, this is going to have consequences. What would be the consequence of this random peasant woman that she saved? And I started trying to think about who she could be connected to, and then I just went, oh. So, yeah.
Yeah, nothing is ever random there. Mm-mm. So, from there, we go to Belle and Rumple, and they're talking about the dagger, and you just want to kind of scream really loudly at your TV at this point in time, because he's being sneaky and manipulative and very much the Dark One and not Rumpelstiltskin. And or not the Rumple that Belle fell in love with. And when she's talking to him and trying to be like, no, this is too much power. He's like, no, dear. Keep it. You're like, I want to strangle you right now. Like, this is, where did you go? What happened to you?
It makes me so angry because Belle should be the one person that he can say anything to. And he's lying to her as well. And I think part of me really understands why he wanted to kill Zelina, because she was the one that killed his son, and everything, literally everything that he's done up until this point has been to find Bay and to try to convince him that he's a better guy now. So, like, I get it, whatever. But at the same time, like, he keeps lying to her, and it's so frustrating because I'm really afraid that he's just going to kind of spiral down that path again, that this is going to lead to something else, which is going to lead to even more. And then who knows, you know, if he's really going to be the Rumple that we've seen the last few episodes or last better part of the season.
Yes, very, very true. I'm a little concerned about their future because a secret like that can't stay hidden forever. You know what I mean?
Not in Once Upon a Time world.
No. Yeah. No, definitely not.
No, it's just the matter of when. Yeah, it's just when, not if. It really is. And, I mean, for a second there, I thought when, like, Emma was, you know, blurting everything out to Hook and I was screaming at the top of my lungs, no, Emma, no! I felt like Rumple maybe was going to remember what he did and change something so that he didn't do that with the dagger. And then he swallowed the drink, and then that was that. And I was like, oh, well, there goes that theory.
Yes, very, very disappointed in Rumple at the moment. So from there, we cut to Granny's diner, and we have Henry reading the story book to the baby. The baby without a name still. And it's kind of interesting how he's telling the story. And it's a story, it's one of the flashbacks we had seen many a times, where Snow and Hook first meet and all of these things happen. And they kind of flash around to a lot of people in the diner, including Catherine, which is kind of interesting. And then from there, Emma kind of makes a comment about, you know, this may not be always where they are. And then Hook makes a comment about Emma always running away. And that leads them to realize that maybe Emma is going to try to run away back to New York with Henry. Henry's opposed to it. Regina's not happy with it. Snow and Charming are disappointed by it. And so that's not good. And Emma leaves and Hook follows her. So this is how they're separated from the group. So they don't have the information about the portal. Because about this time, everyone notices the portal kind of popped up. And I'm not sure how they were on a delay for noticing the portal popped up, but whatever, it works. Go with it. So, yeah. And Rumple, See, this was the first place I kind of had the feeling that maybe Rumpel knew that the portal was going to open when he killed Xelena. Did anybody else get that feeling?
I don't know if it was him knowing or if it was just him being shady to begin with because of all the lies that he's been telling, but I felt like something was up, but I didn't know if it was something we already knew about, if it was something like that.
I agree completely. Like, I feel like he was trying to hide the secret, and as we'll see in a second, I don't think he intended that consequence.
Okay. There's just something about the way he spoke, and I'm like, oh, was his plan to go back and change it himself to some extent? Because then what happens is they go to check on Xelena, realize that she's missing. There's a video, conveniently this video thing, feed, that Rumpel didn't know about, but Min is just to change anyway.
And it's a Betamax. I'm like, really? Yeah. Betamax? Oh my gosh.
Okay, so he manages to get himself out of it, but the portal's already open, and of course Emma and Hook see the portal, and what does she do? She runs right towards the danger. So this is a girl who's saying there's too much going on, it's too dangerous for Henry, this isn't the place for her because of those dangers, and she does what? Runs directly towards the danger. So Emma is like a big ball of contradiction in the very beginning.
Yeah, and yes. I loved, like, Hook kind of trying to drag her away. He's like, no, like, we can't go in there. Are you stupid? No, let's go away. And she's insistent. And I'm like, you just finished talking about safety and keeping Henry safe. Like, why, you know, you're kind of talking out of your ass here. Like, you know that this is not the reason you want to go to New York. So it's like, stop lying to yourself.
Exactly. So, of course, she goes towards the portal. David's trying to get a hold of them. She's not answering her phone. She drops her phone at some point in time. And they kind of get sucked into the portal. Or Emma gets sucked into the portal. She can't hold on to Hook. And Hook is like, well, she's not going by herself. Comes in his, why am I always chasing this woman comment. And he kind of lets go and goes after her. And they end up in the time of when Snow and Charming first met, because that's the story that Henry was just telling. So they end up in a time where they were just thinking about. So the portal would have taken them anywhere that they were thinking, which could have been supremely dangerous, really, if you think about it. So they end back up in the Enchanted Forest at this very kind of pivotal time for all of the characters. Emma decides that seeing Rumpel might be their only way back because they have no idea how to get the portal back. So they go on a kind of voyage to look for Rumpel. In the process, they see Regina making one of her big sweeping, where's Snow White? If you know where she is, I'm going to kill all of you. And Regina has this woman with her that she clearly intends putting to death. And we kind of let that moment pass because nothing Emma or Hook could do could save her, even though Emma clearly wants to. From there, we cut to Hook deciding that they have to change clothes Emma has to change clothes. Because if Emma remains in her New York kind of leather jacket getup, somebody will know something is wrong. It's not what they have here. So she puts on this outfit. And Hook was happy. There was a lot going on the top of that outfit, or not a lot. However you wanna frame that for yourself. And Hook just really, really liked it.
Oh yeah.
That moment was super funny, and just seeing her in something other than her New York like tough girl clothes was really kind of entertaining because she's got the whole like, you know, cape with hood kind of thing going on, and or the cloak with the hood, and that's just, we don't ever really get to see Emma in anything like that, so it's kind of fascinating to see her in full out story land or Enchanted Forest mode.
And so, she's so uncomfortable, like,
yeah, she was
walking it.
Yeah, it was definitely not her get up.
I liked, number one, Hook's eyeline is, you can tell like where that eyeline is going, and it is not to her face. And in the second, Emma's hair this entire episode was so gorgeous, and I was deeply envious of it, and I love this entire scene.
It was definitely a good scene. It was very, very entertaining. And it kind of sets the tone for how the two of them are going to move forward throughout in this Enchanted Forest adventure, if you will. So from there, we see Emma and Hook walking through the forest, and a carriage is coming, and it happens to be David's carriage. So Emma and Hook are kind of hiding, and Emma realizes this is the moment. This is the moment where her parents meet. So she sees snow up in the tree. She sees what David's doing, and she accidentally makes a noise and ruins it. Who else was like, oh, Emma, what did you do?
Yes. I was, but can I tell you, I thought, like, she killed Snow White. Like, that was a pretty big fall. I was like, no, is Snow dead? Snow's paralyzed, Snow crippled. I mean, that was a big old fall out of that tree. I seriously thought she killed Snow White there for a second.
This is exactly when my stress started, and then it didn't stop until the very end of the episode, because I was like, now they have to go back and fix everything, and I was just freaking out the entire time.
These types of, like, time travel things where people screw things up, they stress me out to no end. Mm-hmm. So the entire episode, I was just, like, chewing my fingernails, like, come on, please, fix it, you can fix it. So yeah, this was the start of my stress too, Karen.
It was really entertaining because we're like, oh, and all I could think of was Back to the Future, quite frankly. Once that happened, I was like, oh, is she going to start to disappear? What's going to happen now? So it was entertaining. From there, after she messes up this meeting and realizes how serious it is, they continue to go and find the Dark One. So they get to this little, like, hill, and Hook points out that there's the Dark One's castle, and he turns up behind them, and he's like, why are you not dead yet? Why haven't I killed you? And starts to try and kill Hook. And Emma's like, no, wait, you like him, you've made amends. And Emma's like, what? Or Hook is, Rumpel is like, yeah, I don't think so. And she's like, no. And so Hook makes a comment about burying the hatchet, and Rumpel's like, in your skull. So there's a lot of witty banter between Hook and Rumpel in that very beginning part, because this Rumpel is like, no, I should have killed you when I had the chance. I didn't. What? You have no business being here. And so he's still kind of set on killing him. So then the even better part is when they go inside to discuss what's been going on, and they realize that Belle is there, but this is like pre-love Rumpel and Belle. And Emma makes a comment of like, oh gosh, and then fall in love with her. And Rumpel's like, excuse me? You're telling me I forgive the pirate and I'm in love with the help? And he's just like, no, I don't believe you.
Yeah, really.
So I feel like if Emma's seen Back to the Future, she should know to keep her mouth shut.
Yeah, I just wanted to yell, Emma, stop talking. Emma, stop talking. Like, just don't say anymore.
Hook is just standing there with, like, rolling his eyes, like, oh my God, please shut up.
Well, at a certain point, you're like, have you never seen any time travel, anything on TV ever? Like, do you not have an appreciation of how colossally bad this could go? You know? Yeah.
But Hook, who has never seen anything like that, knows the rules.
Yes.
Like, we can't change anything. Like, Emma, right. Stop it. We can't change anything. She should know.
She really should.
Here's the one thing that bothered me in all of that. He says, but that hasn't happened. Like, he knows that it's, like, an impossibility for magic to go that far. But to me, the next obvious question to ask is, well, who did it? And he doesn't ask who did it, and they don't offer it. I mean, for as much as Emma is babbling away all sorts of information, I was kind of surprised she did not name drop Zelina, and Hook didn't, and not Hook, and Rumpel didn't ask.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, that's really weird, because if he had that knowledge, then he could go and find Zelina, because by now he's already met Zelina and turned her down.
I think it's kind of interesting because he seems suspicious at one point when I think he says, well, only the person who opened the portal can close it or something of that nature. And I think he's thinking of Zelina and, like, the witches. Has he met Regina at this point? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So I think maybe he's thinking of one of those two women.
Well, that's what I think, too, because the obvious jump, the obvious logical person to have opened it would have been, I thought, like Regina or Cora, or like, that's why I was so surprised. Or even himself, he could have done it and they could come back to fix his screw up. I was just so surprised he didn't say, well, which one did it?
It's almost like he, yeah, I don't know. It's almost like he knew in some way, but we'll have to see.
Yeah,
we'll
or maybe he just knew see. It was just too dangerous to mess with and he didn't want to mess with it, so.
Possibly. When Emma goes to show him the book as well to prove to him that this is all happening, the book is empty because Emma's messed up their first meeting. So Rumple is willing to kind of try and help them and explain to them what they need to do now to fix it all that they messed up. And so they can get back. So Rumple says, I will work on the portal, but you need to fix the snow charming situation. That's not on me. You mess it up, you fix it. And kind of just sends them off and tells them, you know, helps them. He uses his little crystal ball, if you will, to show them where she is and kind of be done with it. So she's with Blackbeard trying to get passage out of the kingdom. And so Hook decides that he has a plan. They're going to go, and there's this other lovely pirate that can help Snow and convince her that this is what she needs to do. And it just happens to be him, the other him. So they go to the tavern and try to get one Hook distracted while the other Hook gets Snow White. And this scene was probably one of the funniest of the whole episode, like both episodes. What do you guys think about this whole Hook, double Hook action going on? And Emma being like, I've got this covered. I know what you like. Don't worry. And Hook actually being jealous of himself.
I had like this flashover to Doctor Who where like Rose Tyler couldn't like run into herself in that whole like episode. Like that's where my mind was going on. Like how many versions could there be? Do they have to do a do-over? It was, yeah, I was getting very crossing over Once Upon a Time and Doctor Who for some weird reason. And then at one point, like Torchwood flopped into my head when there's one episode and Jack Harkness goes, oh, great, now we have to spend the rest of the day avoiding ourselves. And that's what I felt like life was going to be like for Hook. Like he was going to have to like spend that night like hiding somewhere not to run into himself.
Yeah, like I said, I love how Emma at this point fully realizes her powers over Hook and uses them now. She's like, I got this. Like, I know how I can distract you.
Yeah, it was just so funny. Just so funny. So she's trying to distract Hook and they're drinking and flirting and having a good time. While modern Hook, if you will, goes onto his ship. And the best part, I think, in all of this is we have Smee going, oh, sir, you changed your vest. Not once, but twice. The fact that Smee notices the change of vest to me, I'm just like, Smee, you gotta get a hobby, my friend.
Smee, the clothes horse, who apparently is up on the fashions of the Enchanted Forest or wherever. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
It's just so funny.
He really does need to get a hobby, but at the same time, I love that he wasn't just the stupid, dim-witted sidekick. Like, he actually did notice, so I thought that was kind of cool that they did it that way.
Yeah, it was just fun. So Emma's distracting one Hook while the other Hook is trying to convince Snow White that she needs to go and steal this ring for them. So Hook takes care of Snow White, but unfortunately Emma can't take care of her Hook. He's a little too feisty and wants to get back on his ship with Emma. So they turn up and Emma starts to kiss the old Hook, if you will. To distract him so that the other Hook can leave without being detected. And that doesn't go so well. Hook doesn't like it and punches himself.
What is that? Seriously, like, if you looked at his face, he was so pissed. And it's like, dude, it's you. Like, you should happy for yourself.
I think that just shows how much he's, like, grown. Like, you know, 30 years ago, he was still, like, a little man whore kind of popping around.
Yeah, really, right? I love that he actually hit him with his hand. I thought he would have, like, clubbed him over the head with his Hook, but he actually, you know, punched him. I thought that was kind of fun.
The incredulity was great.
Yeah, no, seriously, it was fantastic. And Emma's like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Hey, we have to go." He, like, didn't even have a good excuse. He was just like, "I have no reasoning for my poor behavior."
And rum is the perfect cover story. Yes. Rum causes all kinds of problems. He'll pass it off as that. Don't worry about it.
It was fantastic. So from there, the two go back and meet with Rumpelstiltskin, and he tells them, okay, she's going to get inside. They'll get the ring. It'll be great, but somebody needs to keep an eye on her to make sure she's safe. So what they do is they think that Rumpel's going to take the invitation and go in and keep an eye on her. And Rumpel says, oh, no, no, dears. That's not for me. And so he changes them. Like, I swear Rumpel is Emma's fairy godmother in this scene. Like, Hook and Emma's fairy godmother. Because he changes their clothes and gives them a glamour spell so that they can go in and not have a repercussion from being in the ball itself. Which was kind of cool. And from there, we have the dancing scene, which was so fantastic. And Emma's like, I can't do that. And at first she's like, I don't understand why people like balls anyway. And then she sees the dancing and she's like, oh, I think I get it now. Even though she has no idea how to dance that way. And Hook is like, it's okay, don't worry, I'll show you. So they kind of have their moment dancing. Did anyone else just, like, give a big, heavy, happy sigh when that started?
Oh, yes.
I was just thinking of all the happy memories that Emma is taking back. I'm like, she went to a ball. She traipsed through the forest. She saved her parents. Like, she's having adventures. It's just very fun.
Yeah. And that was about the sound that she made the rest of the episode.
Yeah. It's funny because this is what I've been wanting from the show. I've been wanting Emma to be doing all of this stuff, and I know that we got some glimpses of it before, but it never really felt like enough. And I loved the dancing and her being at the ball and just everything that happened, even though, like, Regina totally ruins everything like she usually did back then. But it was all really exciting, and it's just nice seeing Emma in those situations where she is so far outside of her comfort zone, but then she kind of realizes that she likes it.
The banter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, we keep saying it, but the writing, the second half of this mm-hmm. series and the performances mm-hmm. is just off the charts. And every time we think they're never going to top this, they just, every time they top it, it's amazing that they're able to do what they're doing. So much quality on network TV, which is not always known for that. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree, because remember episode 20? Remember how good that was? And basically, like, Zelina was gone and everything felt like it was really wrapped up. And we were like, how are they going to top this? Like, where are they going to go next? There's no way that the final two episodes are going to be as good as that one was. And they just totally blew out of the water.
Oh, yes.
Yes. It was like from start to finish. There wasn't a moment that we were like, oh, my gosh. Oh, what's going to happen now? So it was fantastic. It's the way you do a season finale. Like, no question. It was amazing. And from that amazingness, we have Regina enter the party. And we know at that point in time, Snow has gone into the castle to find the ring. So Emma leaves to kind of go in and check on Snow, because she knows Regina's in the castle and that can be very dangerous for her. In the process, Charming also left the dance. And this is actually now where their first meeting happens, where it should have happened in the forest. They now meet in the castle. And it's kind of very similar to how they meet originally, except Snow kind of whacks Charming in the face with a box and gives him a cut on his chin. And so she gets away, and Emma and Hook kind of fight the guards off because one of them's going to shoot her with an arrow, and that's not safe. And so from there, Charming, and this is the first incarnation of the I will always find you moment, Charming yells out the window, I will find you, and it's not like in a nice way, but he means it, and he says it multiple times kind of from that point forward during these two episodes. And they go from like this vengeful I'm going to find you and kind of rip your head off to the I will always find you that we know them to say a lot to each other today. So I thought that was really cool too, how they kind of took that line and shaped it throughout this whole episode from the point of being really angry to the point of being their thing. Did you guys kind of notice that? That it was cool.
Yeah.
Oh, and I mean, they kind of acted that way towards each other before. Like, they had this sort of angry vibe to their initial meeting, and then it kind of grew from there. But what I really liked about what they did here was that it was basically the same thing, but it was like a parallel to it. And so it was almost like the same, I don't even know how to describe it, the same situations, but it happened like somewhere else, you know? And it was just cool how they decided to kind of build it in the same way instead of going off in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, definitely. Unfortunately, on her escape, Snow loses the ring and Emma finds it. So Emma tries to bust out and get the ring to Snow so they can still have the meeting that they're supposed to have. Unfortunately, Regina grabs Emma and off she goes to the dungeon to be executed the next day. And this is kind of where all the really big issues start, because in the dungeon is also this woman who we don't technically know the name of at this point, who is left in the dungeon to die. And she's meant to be dying. They're meant to be executed the next day. So, yeah, no good deed goes unpunished, Emma. Just remember that.
What I liked about this scene is how Emma sounds like she's in jail. Like, this isn't like, you were captured by the evil queen. She's like, what are you in here for, huh?
Seriously, yes. And that she thought, like, did be getting out. I'm like, did you not? Like, I'm sorry, what part of evil murderous queen do you not understand? I mean, seriously, you really thought you were getting out of there? Like, there's parole in the Enchanted Forest. They have a little work crew where they wear orange vests. No, that doesn't happen there.
Yeah, like there's no work. There's no innocent until proven guilty. There's just the queen wants you dead, you die.
In some cases, rather quickly. like, say you get caught breaking into her palace. Doesn't end well. So from there, we know that Emma's caught. She's with this woman in the dungeon. They're playing nice. And Snow, Charming, and Hook kind of make a plan to go and save her. And this is another really kind of cool moment, because it basically takes Hook and Emma and weaves them into all of the important meetings in Charming and Snow's story. So now they're in the storybook in all of these really important places, because Hook goes and interrupts them when Charming has her up in the net, which is another one of their big moments that we've seen in flashback before, and says, I need your help. This is what I need you to do. We have to get it back from Emma. And so they make a plan, and Snow's like, well, it used to be my castle. That won't be an issue. I can get you in. And so they go off into the castle, and they get a very special helping hand. Who else was surprised to see Red tonight?
Yay!
Yeah.
I was so happy, and not that I wish her ill. I know her other TV series was just canceled, but I really hope that means that she'll be back on Once Upon a Time, and they know how to give her decent material next year, because we really need Red back.
I was saying the same thing, Laura. I was like, did her other show got canceled? And I felt a little bit too happy when they told me that it had.
Can I tell you the only other part that I've been hoping is now that Intelligence got canceled, because her co-star on it is the guy who used to play Sawyer on Lost. Yes. And we know how they like casting Lost alums. We need to have him.
We can be Sven.
He can be Kristoff.
I don't care.
A good Kristoff.
I don't care.
I know. I meant.
But yeah, no, I mean, they have so many Lost alums on this show, like both the big name people and people who had kind of what you would call like tiny incidental parts. We need to have Josh on this show. It would be freaking amazing.
Can he be, if they do Tangled, can he be Eugene Fitzherbert? Because I really see that.
That would work too.
Yeah, he could just really work as anything. We need to have it happen.
He would be a very good dashing prince. I agree. So he could do any of them, really. It would be fine.
Just imagine him with, like, his Southern twang trying to be, like, a prince and be like, yo. shirtless.
Yeah, shirtless is definitely a requirement, I think, isn't it? Didn't I hear that somewhere? No. So from there, and I missed one little thing. When the second episode kind of starts, we have this flashback to Emma and Neil in Portland, and he's showing her how to break in to pick a lock and to break into some place, and it happens to just be a carousel. And this is kind of where we get Neil confessing about his father. Not that he, you know, says my father's a magical being, but he says my father changed, and those changes were too difficult, and that's why I left. And so there's a lot going on there, and there's a lot we see that Neil confesses to Emma and that they talk about, and he's trying to give her things, but, you know, he can't really give her too much because how does he explain to her that, you know, his father's a magical being and he's from a different place altogether? So that moment was, like, bittersweet because it's one of the last times we'll see Neil and Emma together, or the last time we see Neil and Emma together. And so it was kind of really sad, but at the same time, it was touching and sweet at the same time. Karen, did you survive that moment? How did that work for you?
That moment was okay. It was later on when it was a little harder, but now that we're kind of talking about Neil and stuff, I really wanted to say that I like how, and they've been doing this actually since he died, they keep bringing him up, and they won't let us forget about him. And I'm glad that he wasn't just one of those characters that was like, oh, he's dead, you know, we're not going to talk about him anymore, because he was so pivotal to so many people's lives, particularly Emma's, who is, you know, basically the main character of the show. And I think that it's really cool that they did this flashback and that we keep getting, like, these little hints of his influences over the different characters. And I hope they continue doing that even into season 4 because he was so important.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and clearly now there's more going to be more to it because we have a Prince Neil, as we know. So I thought that was, yeah, it was really good. And we also learn in that segment that this is where Emma's quote about home comes from. That the quote about, you know, you don't know it's home until you've gone and you're missing it, comes from Neil. And I think that's really important that Emma's hung on to that and kind of clung to it. Because it also kind of adds to maybe why she's feeling uncomfortable about staying in Storybrooke. So we cut back from the Portland scene, we cut back to the prison scene where Emma's like, oh, we're going to be executed, okay. So Emma manages to pick the lock, and she and Marion are going to be set to escape, which is kind of nice because she refuses to leave, I'm calling her Marion, so we know she's made Marion, she's refusing to leave her behind. And so that's going to be an interesting twist later on because we know the relevance that this woman has back in Storybrooke and in the lives of a couple of characters we've come to grow and love. From there, we have a new snow. Oh, I already did that part. I'm ahead of myself. Yeah. So the plan is that they will bust into the castle and they will save Emma. And in the process of doing this, Snow sends Red to get them into the castle past the guards, to get to Emma, to get her out, and Snow isn't really there, so you kind of don't know where she is. So they go and do this, and Red shifts into wolf form to take out the guards. And as Hook and Charming are going to save Emma, of course she saved herself, as we mentioned in the quotes earlier. And from there, Red says, come with me and I'll take you to where we're going to meet Snow. Well, Snow had her own agenda. She was going to go up to try and kill Regina with the black fairy or the dark fairy dust that she had. It's basically like a black magic. And so she goes to kind of confront Regina and it doesn't really work out. She kind of gets caught. Now, I can't remember. Was this something that we've seen before?
I sort of remember her being in Regina's chambers, but I don't remember how she got out of it. I just don't remember that part, but I do remember, the whole fairy dust sequence was definitely, I remember that whole part, but I felt like there was a scene like that where she talked in the chambers, but I can't remember how she got out of it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't remember. There's some part of me that says Regina let her go for whatever reason, but I wouldn't know why.
Well, it's also a different, because of how things laid out, there's, I think, a different level of anger and Regina being hyped up. So maybe she would have let her go in the former, but not the latter. So I'm thinking maybe that's it.
So from there, we have everyone, we see Snow White get caught, and Regina decides that they're going to put her to death that night. So they bring her out to the middle of the courtyard and put her on a kind of like a stage to be burned, kind of like you would a witch in Salem kind of thing. And Regina's out there with her fireball, and Emma and everyone are trapped at the top. They can't get to her in time. And did anyone else want to scream, "Emma, get it together and use your magic once again" at that point in time? Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah. I'm like, dude, come on. If there was ever a time for the magic to come back, now would be the time. I'm just throwing it out there. So from there, Emma thinks that Snow is dead. Now, the rest of us are like, "You're not dead, honey, so Snow is not dead." It took her a little longer to catch up. So she's kind of in the forest with Hook and everybody, and Hook's trying to comfort her, and she's very upset, thinking her mother is dead, realizing that she didn't get to spend enough time with her, and, you know, all the things that Emma kind of has been harboring quietly, I think, to herself. So they kind of have a moment, and Snow, or this bug, comes and starts flying around everywhere, and Hook is ready to squish it, except that Charming remembers what Snow told him about the dark fairy dust, that it'll turn her into a bug. So they find a way to change her back, which happens to be the blue fairy. And did you guys realize that the blue fairy kind of knew something was up with Emma? That mm-hmm. when she said, "I'm yeah. Princess Leia," first of all, Princess Leia, I don't even know if we talked about that, but come on, really?
Right, and Prince Charles, really? You couldn't come up with Prince William? Or, I mean, seriously. Until Hook finds out who Prince Charles is, he's going to be not happy.
So, with this, Snow comes back, and Emma is so relieved that she kind of grabs her and holds her and is sobbing. And Snow's kind of like, "Uh-huh, okay, thanks. Yep, great." Because Snow has no idea who she is. And so Emma kind of got the sense of what it must be like for them when Emma behaves that way. That constant push and pull of who she is. So it was kind of a really interesting moment in for Emma and Emma's realization of who she is. What did you guys think about that scene?
I was really excited for the Snow and Red hug. Like, just seeing how happy Red was to have her friend back, like, that got me too. Like, I mean, Emma's tears, like, had me a little emotional about it. Like, just happy to see her, you know, really, like, feeling things. Because mm-hmm. it's been a while since we've really seen her emote over anything. And so then between that and Red, I was just really, really happy that whole scene.
I'm sad it took the death of her mother to make her realize how much she loved her. Kind of like, you know, you don't know what you got till it's gone. But then, like, her comforting her and the blue fairy made it all okay. So, worked out.
I love how the blue fairy is the only one with any common sense who's like, "I sense you are hiding something. I don't want to know." Like, you can, like, she seems to be the only one with I don't know, common sense this episode.
Yes, yeah. For her very brief stint, she definitely was the only one. Nobody else really questioned them. Wouldn't you know most of the prince and princesses in your realm?
Wait,
do you know what I mean? Like, oh. I don't know. Go ahead.
Was there already the scene with Charming and Hook by the fire? Or have we not gotten there yet?
No. Did we skip it? We may have skipped it.
It's when Emma's locked up and Snow's...
Yes. Go ahead.
That's
to me, that's so funny because Hook doesn't look like Hook to Charming, but he's, like, talking... follow this logic. So Charming doesn't know that he's talking to Hook, and Hook is basically telling Charming, "I'm in love with your daughter." Flash forward to back to the present when Emma does eventually tell them, "Yeah, we were Princess Leia and Princess Charles 30 years ago. Ha, 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 ha," right? And so then Charming should realize, "Oh my god, so that guy I was talking to in the woods about this, like, Princess Leia person was really Hook talking about my daughter." Do you see that cyclical
Yeah,
but there was
but there was something about that saying that people wouldn't remember what happened in the past. That it didn't, they don't remember the things because Hook said, I don't remember kissing you, and I would have remembered. Even though you didn't look like you, I would have remembered because I know what it's like to kiss you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they somehow sealed it when they came through.
Yeah, yeah. I don't get that logic, but whatevs. Because that's the other thing, because when they're talking that at the campfire, Hook says, that's really good, I want you to remember that in the future. Because he's like, well, you know, she should be able to love him, she wants to love him. You know, they should give him a break. And because when he was talking about her parents not liking him, he's like, I'm going to need you to remember that. So yeah,
it just made me happy. Yeah,
I like Hook. I like Hook bonding time. They need to have more of that.
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining because you would think that they, you know, Charming has these moments where he really doesn't like Hook, but at the same time, there's so many things that are very similar between Hook and Charming. Like if you really think about their backstories and the things that they've done. There's a lot of similarity there. Granted, Hook is a pirate, but there's still some things that are
I think alike. They find, yeah, their brother within each other. It's like, you know, back to that bonding kind of brotherly experience, which is cute.
That's a very good point. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I always like it when they have those moments together on screen. It's super fun. All right, so back to this present storyline now that we've messed it all up. So from...
Sorry.
No, it was totally my fault because there was so much going on in this, like, episode I couldn't even, like, keep my mind straight. So from this point, we know that the only remaining, like, big scene in the Charming Snow White saga of kind of falling for each other is the Troll Bridge. Well, Snow decides she's going to go get some quote-unquote water, and really what she does is she takes off. So Charming goes after her, and the only place that she can go to cross is the Troll Bridge. So they both end up at the Troll Bridge. Emma and Hook kind of follow because they're concerned that they're going to be in trouble because they no longer have the dark fairy dust. So at the Troll Bridge, the same kind of thing unfolds, except Snow doesn't actually have the fairy dust. So she kind of lies and gets away with it. And this is the moment where Charming and Snow kind of fall in love for the first time.
I loved the bluff. I thought it was great. And I felt like the bluff kind of aided him falling in love with her. So I just loved the total like poker face bluff and that the trolls bought it.
It's very in character for Snow. Like, I mean, that's exactly how she would have treated the situation had she already used the dust. Like, you know, it felt exactly right for what, you know, had transpired already and what she had at her fingertips. So, yeah, I really liked it, too.
Yes, it was very, very fun. And so we kind of get that moment, and Emma and Hook realize that everything's going to be okay now. And Emma's willing to kind of, you know, let it go. And Hook gets a little concerned because they kind of talk and then they walk away from each other. And Emma's like, no, it took them a whole lot of times to get it right. Like, to realize that this is where they should be. So everything was okay. Emma and Hook meet back up with Rumple. And they bring Marion with them. And he's like, well, what's this extra luggage you've brought? And they're like, well, there's nothing we can do. You know, we needed to save her. It'll be fine. And so Rumple says, well, I have this wand. It would work, except, unfortunately, you have to have light magic to work it. I don't have light magic. And he hands it to Emma and says, you know, can you do anything with it? It's, again, there's this element of he almost knows something. There's like a tipping point there for him in a way. Like, he's on the brink of knowing everything because he knows who her parents are. So he has to know how important she is later on. And in fact, she tells him in a lot of ways how important she is. So from there, he decides he's going to lock them away with all things that are dark and too scary for him. It's like his darkest magic place.
Yeah, I wish we had a better look around that room. I mean, there was a lot that was down there. I really wish we had seen what else was in that room, because that's scary on a whole new level. Like, what, you know, Rumple in his totally evil day, what he found too scary to deal with, he locked up. That's just frightening.
Yeah, I'm concerned on a lot of levels. And where did that place go? Like, is all that stuff now in his shop?
Yeah, because Belle references. Yeah, because Belle references it too. She's like, "Well, you know, can't we put this dagger back in that place, that closetless place that you used to have?" So I was like, "All right, how does that work?"
Well, and when they first got there, Hook opened the cabinet that is in Rumple's shop that he locked the dagger in. Like, it's that wooden cabinet that at the beginning of the episode he opened. That cabinet was in there.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so
exactly.
The minute, so I was thinking, like, is all of that stuff in his shop? Like, that's terrifying.
Exactly. That's where it all came from. It's now his shop, which is terrifying on so many levels. Mm. Or maybe not all of it's in his shop, but there's some of the stuff is in his shop, definitely.
Well, so. At the very least, the urn was there, and the urn came through, and then we have our little Frozen crossover going. So that's, yeah, that's not good.
I don't know.
I thought it was interesting that it was an urn. I don't know, like, was there any significance with that, or?
I thought it was like a genie in the bottle at first.
Mm-hmm,
like, literally, too. That's where my mind went at first. And then I was like, okay, not a genie. Then all this blue liquid started pouring out. And then I was just like, please don't be a blue smoke monster. Because seriously, I really thought for a second there it was going to be. And then as it started forming, then I knew where they were going with it.
All right. So before we get way too far ahead of ourselves, let's go back and finish up the end of the actual episode before we get to the reveal of what's next. So they're in this place and Emma doesn't believe in herself at all. She's holding the wand. And once again, Hook steps up to convince her of who she is and how capable she is. And he gives her this huge speech about magic and about how she's holding herself back and all this other stuff. So that was kind of like the ultimate Hook Emma moment, like the cherry on top of the sundae of this whole 2-episode arc of them, because it was kind of like she realized just how important she herself was and the power that she has and what she can do for other people. And B, I think there was something there that she kind of finally was willing to admit that Hook needed to be a part of her life, in a sense. And the wand lights up, and she opens the portal. And, of course, Hook has already taken the urn out. And as soon as he touched the urn, was everyone like, oh, you didn't. You didn't just do that. Because as soon as the urn was on prominent display, you knew it was all over.
Yeah, I was a little bit worried. Totally. I really liked that moment, though, between Hook and Emma. And I wouldn't call it the cherry on top of my sundae, because that came a little bit later when they were outside the diner, just throwing it out there. But I will say that I am so glad that somebody finally told Emma that she needs to just stop running, because that was really starting to get old, and she was starting to drag Henry into it. And that's not fair to him, to pull him away from his family, too. It's one thing if she just wants to up and leave and, you know, do that on her own. But dragging Henry into it is really not fair to him. And I'm glad that Hook told her that. And I'm glad that it came from Hook, because they've done something really cool with his character over these, you know, however long he's actually been on the show. And I feel like organically he's really grown into this hero, and this was almost like the culmination of that. Like, he is at that point where we can definitely say he's a hero now, and I really like that idea.
I feel like Hook has been trying to find the right way and opportunity to scream all of this at Emma. Like, you've got to stop. Like, he just wants to shake her. And you can tell that for the last, like, 2-3 episodes, like, he's been trying to hold himself back. And so the second he got the opportunity, he just went for it. And I was so excited. I loved this scene. I love nothing more than watching two people, like, that are in their situation, like, kind of fight and kind of get everything out there, and it's always so cathartic. So it's like, yes, thank you, finally.
I love that it wasn't a scene just about you're running away. Like, there was a deeper part to that conversation. It was more of, you know, you're running away, and then really, like, it was a layered conversation of what that meant. And I did not think that anybody was going to get Emma on that deep of a level. Like, I'm not sure that Charming and Snow would have put all the pieces together the way he did. And I was like, wow, that is super impressive.
Well, you know, it's so much more than, like, this true love thing. And I feel like that's something that Snow and Charming have always been focused on. And they would have told her, like, oh, you have to follow your heart and, you know, go where your true love is and everything will be okay. And I feel like Hook is much more realistic. And he's like, you need to figure it out for yourself. You need to do what you want to do. And it's all about, like you said, it's that deeper level. And I'm glad that they didn't make it about the two of them. Like, she wasn't necessarily running away from him. She wasn't necessarily going to stay because of him. It was about family, and it was about sort of like finding herself and coming to terms with who she is as a person.
I'm glad they forced the confrontation. I feel like for so long, like, Emma has been able to run away. Like, she's been in Storybook and she can just pivot and like walk away from it. But they're literally, you know, forced in this box to face the issue now. And also, they've all, from a reality perspective, they purposely made Hook to be a kindred spirit for Emma. So it's kind of like Charmaine and Snow, they're already paired up. They already get each other completely. They don't get their daughter like that. Like, Hook is the person who can do that for Emma. So, like, that's why he needed her there to, like, she needed him, really, to force her to see that's her home. That's who she is.
Yes. It was one of the many emotional semi-ending scenes that occurred over the last 20 minutes of this episode. It was fantastic. So from there, the wand works. She opens the portal. Hook grabs Marion and jumps through the portal. And as Emma's getting ready to jump through the portal, Rumple shows up and grabs her. And this is another incredibly emotional moment because he wants to know about Neil. He wants to know about Bay. And it's just this gut-wrenching moment of her trying to explain to him, yes, you meet your son. Yes, this happens. And when he asks what happens to Neil, Emma has to, I mean, she's honest with him, which is difficult enough in itself, but she's trying to convince him to let her go so that she can go through the portal. And it's so hard because Emma has to say, your son is dead, but you reconciled, you made it up, it was okay, but your son is dead, and I loved him, and I loved him as much as you loved him. And it was so painfully emotional. So what did you guys think about that? Yeah, see? Karen, I'm going to let you start this one.
It was so good, you guys. I mean, and I definitely don't have anything against Hook and Emma. I think they're wonderful together, but like I've said before, Neil and Emma just kind of have like a special place in my heart. And I really like a lot of the scenes that they had together in the past. And, you know, just once again, they're bringing Neil up and they're reminding us how much he did mean to Emma. And I like that he's just not shoved under the rug. And it was just so good. And the way that, you know, her voice broke and you could tell how much she didn't really want to be telling this to Rumple, but at the same time, she knew she needed to say it for him, but also for herself. And it was just, it was so perfect. And yeah, gut-wrenching, I think, is like the best word for it.
I was going to say, yeah, as I said before with the quotes, like, this was one of my favorite scenes of the episode, which is crazy when it's, you know, so Captain Swan heavy, which I love. But this scene was just so beautiful because you're exactly right, Karen. Emma had to say it. She had to say it out loud. Like, I loved him. I loved him as much as you did. He's gone. You know, there's nothing we can do. You have to drink that potion and you have to let me go. Like, it was just a really beautiful moment for both of them. And I loved every minute of it.
Yeah. Pile of mush scene. Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And can we talk about the fact that Rumple took the potion? Like, he could have changed that, but I think he knew how important it was for Bay to, like, end up being the hero and saving everybody, and he knew the consequences could be so huge, and he decided to drink the potion anyway, and I really loved that about him.
I did too. He may be the dark one, but he's a smart one.
Yeah, that's a good quote. You know what? And I don't even think his motivation was that altruistic even at that point. I think what was probably going through his head was if I drink this, I will see my son again. That's mm-hmm. all he needed to know. And I think maybe part of his mind might have been like, well, maybe I can prevent it. Maybe I can stop it if I get there in the future. But I think he was just all about, if I don't drink this, I never see him again. And that was enough for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great point. Can we just talk about Robert Carlyle for a minute in this episode?
Yes.
Because seeing him back as the total dark one with the gold and everything, he was so fantastic with the crazy little hand gestures and the creepy laugh and all of those things that he does as the dark one. Because we haven't seen that in a really long time. So to see it for the whole episode and to see how he played with the Hook and Emma dynamic and all of those things, he was fantastic this episode.
So good. And I feel really bad because I love him the most when he's at his worst. Like when the Dark One is basically as evil as he can possibly be. And I'm just like, yes, give me more of that. But then again, it's like, no, because he does terrible things to all the people we do like.
Yeah, it's kind of a win-lose with that one. Like, you're like, oh, I love it. But at the same time, you're really evil. So, I don't know. But he was so good in the episode. So good. So, then we come back, and they get back to Storybrooke, and they tell the story of what happened. And they show the storybook, which now has Princess Leia and Prince Charles intermixed throughout the story. And so, everyone knows what happened there, which was really interesting. They also decide that they are going to name the prince, and they've come up with a name. And as we mentioned it before, for a very brief second, there was a part of me that thought they might name it Prince Killian, because the way they were talking about how he saved them all and how he did all these things, because if you guys stop and think about it, Hook has played a huge role in saving them repetitively throughout the majority of the season. Emma would have never come back to save them from Zelina had Hook not gotten to them.
Mm. Right. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
And he sacrificed a lot to do that for them. It didn't come without a price. No. It came with a price.
Mm. A big one. Yeah. A very big one. Anyway, that was my first thought. And then when we were in chat, someone's like, Neil. And I'm like, oh yeah, you're right. Never mind. So they name him Prince Neil, which ensures that the idea and the thoughts behind Neil will always be there. You know, so he's always going to be ingrained within this story. He's just going to be in a different form. You know what I mean? Which is kind of cool. Is it odd? Because now we have this really, this branch of a family tree that kind of connects to Emma and Henry in multiple ways. So Emma's brother is now named after her love and father of her child. So Henry's uncle is now named after his father. Anyway, you get the picture. It's only something that Once Upon a Time could do.
Is it weird? Yes. Is it weird for Once Upon a Time? No, not really.
Not the worst things. So from there, Emma is kind of rejoicing with everyone, and she looks around and notices that Hook's not inside. So she goes and sits outside with him, and they kind of begin to talk. And you can tell she's kind of come around now, which is good. And as they're talking, he tells her finally how he got back to her in New York. And he says, well, you know, I knew that it was coming, and I had to outrun the curse. And once I was out of the purview of the curse, I had to find a way to you. I knew it would be possible because the curse had broken down kind of the barriers. He's like, so, you know, I just found a magic bean. And Emma's kind of like, well, magic beans are costly. How did you do that? And at this point, once he admits this, all of Emma's reservations are gone. So Hook sells Jolly Roger, the thing he loves most in the world, to get to Emma. And that kind of just, breaks Emma down, and Emma, grabs him and kisses him. So were you guys surprised that he actually sold the Jolly Roger to get to Emma?
I swear, for weeks, I've been wondering what had happened to the Jolly Roger, because we haven't seen it. He hasn't talked about it, which means that something happened to it, because Hook wouldn't just, you know, if he knew where it was and knew it was fine, he'd, you know, oh, you know, the Jolly Roger, blah, blah, blah. He would have mentioned it. So I've known for weeks that something has happened to the Jolly Roger. It's not his anymore. And I've wondered, like, what it was. You know, a couple weeks ago, I thought maybe he's the one who enacted the curse and he had to sacrifice the Jolly Roger to enact it or whatever. There were a million different conspiracies, but I really, really liked that he literally gave it away. He got rid of it on his own terms to get back to Emma, and I just thought that was really, really sweet.
I thought that he had used the Jolly Roger to get to her, like, through some kind of, like, Pirates of the Caribbean portal-like thing, but I'm glad that it was the Jolly Roger and not, like, his soul that he had to sell.
Yeah.
Good point. Great point right there.
I mean, for me, too, because I am, like, I'm not against the Captain Swan ship, but, like, I'm not, like, all about the Captain Swan ship. And that whole scene just totally worked for me on so many levels. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm, like, tearing up here. And I'm not even a Captain Swan shipper. I was sort of like, you know, Neil Emma for me was kind of going to be endgame. And I thought the whole thing was just brilliant.
It's just, you know how much that means to him. And that's the part that really got me. And I was just like, oh, yeah, it destroyed me too.
I was very happy.
Well, and if you think about it, we had the episode where all he wanted to do was find the Jolly Roger. Because that was going to help him. That was going to make it better. He just had to find the Jolly Roger. Because that was his. And he could be a pirate again. And that's who he was going to be. And so he went through all of those things to find the Jolly Roger. He gets the Jolly Roger back from Blackbeard, only to turn around and give it away for Emma.
Yeah, it's like, stop cue, it.
Cue fangirl noises.
I'll just be over here for the next, you know, summer screen.
Yep, basically.
So, if that, the final Emma Hook kissing thing wasn't enough, there's still more. We have Val and Rumpel getting married in the middle of the forest with no one else really around to see them except her father, who gives her away, and Jiminy Cricket, Dr. Hopper. Jiminy Cricket.
Who Dr. was Hopper. So excited to be there.
Like, I was so cute. So he had this big little beaming smile on his face. Yeah. Like, he was practically doing a bouncy clap, you know? It was so funny.
So he is set to wed them, and they kind of have their own vows. And we said some of Belle's earlier, because they're just like, everything in this, like, these two episodes felt like it was, like, gut-wrenching. Do you know what I mean? Like, it all felt very, like, touching, and I don't know, there was a lot of it. It was weird to have so much emotion packed, and none of the emotion was based on death, which is amazing, but it was all, like, this emotion. Do you know what I mean? Like, usually when they go in for the emotional kill, it's got, you know, there's some death there usually, but none, which was fantastic.
Well, here's the thing, though, as they're saying these vows, and he says his, and I'm like, you SOB, you're going to break her heart. And then she says hers about the broken cup. And I'm like, and he's lied to you. And I'm just like, I'm just like listening to them doing it. And I'm going, oh, yeah. You know, this is going to come back in a killer monologue next season. And it's just going to be, oh, horribly gut-wrenching.
Next season opens with Belle filing for divorce.
Seriously?
Yeah. It's going to be rough.
Angry during this because it was supposed to be such a touching moment and something that has, I mean, it's been going on for so long, you know, and they've been leading up to something like this forever. And it just felt cheap to me because he lied to her in such a huge way. And it's going to have consequences. And I honestly don't want to be there when they come crashing down around him because it's going to be brutal.
Mm-hmm. One thing I do want to point out, though, when Rumpel was saying his vows, he had a line about breaking down walls. And at that moment, they panned to Hook and Emma making out. And I was just like, I see what you did there.
Yeah, oh, it's gonna be crazy. Anyway, so that was kind of that moment with the wedding, and it, as you can tell, we kind of all had mixed emotions about it, but the true kick in the gut comes at Granny's when Gina walks in with Robin, and you know, you just know it's all going to fall apart when they're walking down the street hand in hand with Roland, and they're kissing, and they're happy, and everything's wonderful, and they walk in. And then Marion freaks out because she sees Regina, and Emma says, no, 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 it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. And so Emma brings her over to introduce her to kind of say, hey, you know, she's cool now, she's nice. And then they realize who she is. And Robin comes running over, and Roland, and Regina's not happy. And basically, history just repeated itself. You know, she couldn't leave well enough alone. And Regina points it out to her. She's like, you're just like your mother. You can't just let it be. So that was kind of brutal.
And I swear, yeah. what's even worse is... Yeah, Snow took her love away from her, but her love was dead. So she got to grieve it. Here, she has to watch him be reunited with his wife, his son be reunited with his mother, and that's going to be in front of her. Like, she can't... There's nothing she can do. And that I feel like that's even worse than what Snow did.
Okay, here's my question. They were at that... pub when she sees the tattoo, remember? We didn't see anything else that indicated it was him. Regina specifically like mentions the tattoo in this episode. Is there someone else with that tattoo?
It's a branding theme.
Right. You know, when she said something about the tattoo, I said, I wonder if he knows anyone else with the tattoo. Like, I wonder if it's just him.
Is it part of the Merry Men thing?
Uh-huh. Because
you know who else could have the tattoo?
Oh.
Yeah. Will. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. If they're going there, that'll be interesting.
That'll be a showdown in Wonderland, kids.
I don't mind, because he needs to dump duck lips. So, yeah.
Hey.
I know.
Don't be mean to her.
I'm trying.
Anastasia. We're sorry.
Because the thing is, they said that the Knave was coming back. They never said anything about Anastasia coming back.
Yeah.
We'll just get rid of duck lips. We don't need her.
Let's not even go there.
So, my point being is, they could have set us up big time.
Thinking that they should be together.
And they set Regina up as well, thinking, you know, he has the tattoo, it has to be him, and I can make that work. And maybe it's not him.
And, like, almost forcing it to work. You know what would be really cool, though, is if it is somebody, let's say it is the Knave, so it is Will, let's say it is him. I want her to fall in love with him and not even know he's got the tattoo. Like, if it's on somebody else, because, like, almost in a sense, it became, like, a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, I want, like, her to earn the relationship not knowing that, you know, Tinkerbell or somebody predestined that, you know, this is who it is. Like, I would really want her to sort of totally earn it without any kind of, you know, insight or anything else.
Kiss a few frogs to find the prince kind of thing.
Yeah, and I like that idea because there was the vibe that she knew it had to be him when she saw the tattoo. Therefore, she kind of just went with it. And I get it. I understand it. But Laura makes a really good point that it was kind of like, it wasn't a natural, oh, I'm going to fall in love with you. It was more of the, well, that's what fate said I should do, so I clearly have to do it. Fate told me you were my love. Not that I felt that way. So, yeah.
Wouldn't it be really sweet if she falls for someone else, and they get the tattoo to fulfill the prophecy?
Interesting.
I mean, it could be Will, or it could be someone we haven't met yet.
Will meets Robin in a bar. They have a drunken bet. He loses and he has to get the tattoo.
Get the tattoo. Or he, you know, is talking to Robin and Robin informs him of all the stuff that went on and he goes and gets the tattoo. Mm. You know, something like that. Like, maybe it's not that she can only love the person who had the tattoo. Maybe it's she loves the person who has it. It doesn't matter when he gets it. You know what I mean?
But Tink took her to the place to show her the love.
In the past.
in the right. past. So he, but, would, I mean, he already have to have it?
We've seen time travel once.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever works.
You never know.
I would just like to play devil's advocate, and I just really like Robin and Regina together. Can we? They just stay together. Can Marianne just disappear?
I know, I'm
not opposed to this. I'm really not.
Because I love Robin and Marianne, but I also loved where it went with Regina, so I'm really torn about it. But actually, fun fact, even though they recast Robin Hood, so our current Robin Hood is Robin Hood number two, not that I'm objecting to that. But do you know it's the same Marion? I actually looked that up on the IMDb, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's the same actress. I had no idea.
You mean the one who just lied dead on the pallet? Because I think that was
her only
scene the first time.
She was there. She was pregnant. She had like four lines, and then they got rid of her. I mean, who knew you were going to get another gig like 2 years later?
That's so funny. I forgot they recast Robin Hood. Because I remember being really, really upset about it to begin with, and now I'm, like, totally on board. Like, I totally forgot that they had done that.
Sean McGuire is great. That's his name, right?
I think so.
Yeah, that's him. So, yeah.
Knowing Adam and Eddie, they've known that they were going to bring these characters back, you know, Marianne 2 years ago. They were probably like, all right, so in 2 years, we might call you up, but like in the contract or something.
Yeah. So in the meantime, she can go off and be on Arrow and then come back and be on Once Upon a Time.
Exactly.
Whatever works, you know. But yeah, that was kind of like the nail in the coffin for me. I was like, okay, I'm done now. I'm done. I'm glad it's the end because it's too much. Too much.
But it wasn't.
But it never is. But then that lovely urn that we all knew was trouble as soon as Hook touched it came back. And I don't know. Like, I'm excited by the idea, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, okay. So as we all saw, it was not a smoke monster, much to Laura's delight. it was blue liquid. And for a brief, brief moment, I thought maybe it was going to be Ursula.
Me too.
It was brief. It was fleeting. Mm-hmm. But, you know, water.
Yeah, I did for a second too.
But they chose the much more direct route of commercially popular and went with Frozen, which is fascinating to me. And as soon as I saw the hair, I was like, oh, yep, done. So I don't know. There's a lot you can do with that. Here's the thing. I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying that our new villain is Elsa, but I don't think they're going to make her the villain. I don't think you can make her the villain.
She's something that Hook feared. Not Hook. God. She's something that Rumpel feared. And her, whatever she is, it's something or magic or what. So she got locked up because Rumpel was afraid. That doesn't inherently make you evil. That just means the Rumpelstiltskin from back then was very afraid of you for some reason.
She can freeze things quite readily. It's pretty effective.
Actually, you know what I thought? It's crack theory. Wicked Witch of the North.
Would make sense.
Yeah.
And she was missing for a long time, they said. And I believe we had this conversation like 2 episodes ago when we talked about the witches unlike the points of a compass.
Yeah.
Didn't we talk about it? I think we did. So it makes sense. And so I'm assuming it means we're going to go to Arendelle, which is where she is from, which is cool because in Arendelle, there are lots of things going on. You have the trolls, the rock trolls. You have the very cool reindeer. Not that we'll actually get him, but he's cool. You have Olaf.
That's Kristen's favorite.
I love Sven. Sven is my favorite character in Frozen. I love him.
And Sven is fantastic. And then you have Hans and Kristoff. And so Hans could easily be the villain.
And Anna.
Oh, and, of course, Anna. Of course, Anna. Sorry.
Casual.
Like, she's a given. So she could, Hans could easily be the villain of this, do you know what I mean? For the season. Which would be interesting to have, like, a male villain, because the only other male villain we've had is Rumpel. Like, we've been focused on witches so much, we haven't really, and stuff like that, we haven't really had a male villain.
That's true.
I think,
well, Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Peter Pan. Like, that didn't even cross my mind because I'm like, he's a child, an evil, ferocious, terrible child. But anyway. But
I get the idea, like, about how we're focusing on witches so much because that's true. Like, a lot of the villains, they all have to do with, like, the magic and the consequences that come from learning black magic. It would be really cool to get a villain who has no magic, who is just manipulative and is sort of like a regular person, a regular antagonist.
This just really excites me because, yeah, as we were saying, like, all the Frozen characters, but also we know Tangled happened during that time. And yes, we already have Rapunzel, but Tangled's my favorite animated movie ever, so just that whole aspect of it, too.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, we know that they exist in the same universe because they were in the movie, so we could get a Flynn appearance, which would be really, really great.
Can Zach Levi play him, please?
please.
That would be cool.
As long as we get Josh Holloway somewhere, I'm okay.
He would be a good Kristoff.
He would be a great Kristoff. I could see that working. The other thing is, with this, did you guys ever see the, like, storyboard that someone did that said that Arendelle, Tangled, and the Little Mermaids, like Prince Eric and those guys, that all of their kingdoms are connected?
Yeah.
You guys ever see that stuff on, like, it was on BuzzFeed or something? Because you know how the Little Mermaid is playing on a ship that's sunk?
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing this graphic.
So they're
now
saying that was Anna and Elsa's parents' ship that sunk. And then you get Tangled in the, you know, the Tangled characters are in Arendelle for her coronation and all this stuff. So they're saying those three worlds are connected. So we've been set up with the Little Mermaid. We've been set up with Tangled, or Rapunzel. So it could work that the three of them could kind of play a role in next year's story arcs.
It's certainly a whole new world.
I have a lot of thoughts about this Frozen thing because I got really, really excited when she popped up at the end there. I just thought that was so cool. And I mean, there's been hints that it would be a possibility, but I think it was still a really great twist, and I'm really glad that they did it. But at the same time, I am really confused how they're going to pull it off because you can't make Elsa the villain. Like, that would destroy so many little girls. Like, can you even imagine? So they're going to have to do something else with her. And I think I get why people are really upset about Frozen just taking over everything. Because it's true, it is, and, you know, it's just popping up on Once Upon a Time now. But I'm really interested to know how they're going to sort of put this in the narrative and make it more realistic and maybe put their own twist on it.
You know, it'd be interesting. So Elsa can't control herself. And who do we know that teaches witches? Rumpelstiltskin.
Very good point.
So
maybe he couldn't even teach her, and that's why he was afraid of her, because she was too powerful.
Although by the end, see, and this is where we're going to have to figure out what part of Frozen they're taking.
Yeah.
Because by the end of the film, she could control it.
Or maybe when Rumpel met her, she could control it, and based on the amount of power she had and the threat she posed to him, he bottled her up and, you know, hid her away somewhere so that she couldn't be a threat to him.
Maybe now she's vengeful.
And they always turn things on its ear anyway. Like, there's nothing that's always the pure, exactly, like, this is what happened. You know, they always turn stuff upside down. So I could totally see them taking a part of it that's convenient and then doing their typical little Once Upon a Time twist on it.
See, I think the problem with that, though, is because Frozen is so fresh. Do you know what I mean? Like, it literally happened less than a year before we're going to start integrating it into the show. Like, you're running a really big risk when you do that. All of the other things that they're integrating happened at, you know, a long time ago. They're not as fresh in everyone's mind. Mm-hmm. It's okay to play and adapt with something that has been, you know, in a storybook for the last 200 years. When you're looking at something that isn't really in a storybook, I mean, it is. It's the Snow Queen to some extent. But it's also this mega huge blockbuster that happened less than a year ago. You're taking a really big chance by manipulating it and twisting it into something different. Because it's still popular and fresh in people's minds as to how it actually played out.
All bets on when we'll hear the first Let It Go pun.
Oh my God. Within the first 5 minutes. Come on.
First episode. Yeah, definitely.
Come on. I really want them to do a musical. Like, I've been wanting it for a while, but I think this would be like perfect if Kristen Bell came in. Oh, it'd be so good.
I want somebody to ask Henry if he wants to build a snowman.
I was going to say, he wants to build a snowman. Anyway.
And then Emma can turn it into Olaf.
Yeah, there was talk about Kristen Bell maybe making an appearance on Once Upon a Time as Elsa. So it'll be interesting.
As will they interview Anna.
Yeah, Anna.
Yes, yes, as Anna. Well, they didn't say as Anna. They just said, would she make an appearance on Once Upon a Time? I don't think they specifically stated Anna.
Speaking of Tangled and Frozen, and I know it's getting off track now, but what about, like, Brave? Like, will they go to Scotland ever or something? Merida?
Come on, you have to. That would be amazing. And yeah. Archery's pretty hot right now in the world, let's face it. You still got the Hunger Games rocking the archery. You've got Arrow, which is, you know, can't get much better than that. So, yeah. Why not bring a little archery? I mean, they have Robin Hood, but let's give him his equivalent.
My inner flaming red hair. Yeah. My inner 8-year-old wants Merida to be on the show so bad, I can't even tell you.
Okay. So does anyone else have any crazy hypotheses?
I'm just going to say Comic-Con this summer is going to be off the wall. Oh. Like, we've already been talking about how off the wall it's going to be with other series and seasons. And, like, can we just start camping out for Ballroom 20 now? Yep, I mean, it's just going to be that off the wall because you know they're going to bring, like, a big surprise. Like, you know the big reveal at Comic-Con is going to be who's playing Elsa. Like, that's going to be it. And they'll pull other stuff, too. Like, it's going to be huge.
Were there any blondes on Lost that we should keep in mind?
Well, only Emily Duravin, who's already on the show, playing Belle.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Christina, did you have something? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
If people are suggesting Idina Menzel, I don't know if she could do it because she is on Broadway right now, but I don't know if it's a limited run or like a foreseeable future kind of thing.
And so. Elsa's hair except in that scene was clearly blonde, and Idina blonde would freak me out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, that would be a little scary.
Yeah, just, it would be weird. I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Like, I would have been fine with an Elsa who had something other than blonde hair. Like, I wouldn't have freaked out. But since they showed her that way, I have a feeling it's probably not going to be her.
Yeah. And Idina's going to run in that for a little bit because she's up for a Tony nom. Even if it is a limited run, they're not going to stop until Tony's come out. And that's not that they're already going to be filming by that point.
Yeah. Let the crack theories begin.
Yeah. It's going to be super crazy. And I can't wait because there's so. There's so many ways it could go, and you never know what they're going to do. That's the beauty of this writing team is they take it to, like, you think you have an idea and you think you're like, yeah, I've got it. And then they take this left turn. That wraps up this episode of Once Upon a Time. We hope you guys enjoyed listening, and we will be bringing you some episodes throughout the summer, but we have lots of different things to cover, so we'll probably only be about one a month, just so everyone is aware. And of course, once Comic-Con has come and gone, we will be bringing you tons of information, because we usually get some really great things there. So thank you guys for listening. Until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Laura.
I'm Karen.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Christina.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.